we're going to get on to our usual Finn Harps and Derry City chat in just a second, but we have heard from Stephen McConnell and Gareth Doherty ahead of this weekend's opening National League game for Rovers. Needless to say, it's a very exciting time to be involved with the club, Anthony.
It is, yeah, and it's we're at the stage now where we're a couple of days away from our first game in the National League, and I think, you know, while the players have put in an awful lot of work in terms of preparation and in terms of commitment and making the effort to prepare and play at this level, I think, you know, it's a time now for reflection and looking back and congratulate our committee and the people behind the scenes that have put in such a lot of time and effort to make this possible, you know, for having the foresight, the ambition, you know, and the dedication to go and go through the whole application process. And I think, like, the first game, it's more, while it's exciting for the players, it's you know, a great reward for the committee and the effort that they've put in over the last number of years, because it just hasn't happened overnight. Like, it's been a long process, and Trevor Scanlon touched on it on Monday night when he says originally there were 70 clubs applied to enter the league, and it's been whittled down to 15. So a lot of credit to our committee, but also, like, we can't talk about ourselves without mentioning Bunnegee and Cock Hill and congratulating them on getting to this level as well and getting to this stage. And it shows, like, an awful lot of foresight and ambition on all three clubs' part.
You're heavily involved, you have been for the past couple of years, in the management dugout and also as director of football. From a director of football's perspective, what is the introduction of three more teams to senior football going to do for football and, I suppose, the football player here in the Northwest? If you look at it, we've obviously got Finn Harps and Derry, and now you're adding in Letterkenny, Cock Hill, Bunnegee into this National League. Up north, you've got Coleraine and Limavady in the NIFL Premiership, and then the likes of, you know, Stute, Strabane, Derrickview, Ballina and Mallard in the lower tier in the north. Is it a good thing to have this amount of teams in the area playing senior football here, or what kind of effect do you think is that going to have going forward for the player in the Northwest?
I think what it's given for the player in the Northwest area, and especially young players coming through at our club, it's given them that extra incentive in terms of player pathway. You know, the players now, they have that, you know, if you're talking, like, we start off with our kids at junior overs on a Sunday morning, Mark, where you'll have well over 100 kids there on any given Sunday. And, you know, over the last number of years, we've seen them players progress through to play at our, like, when we started off junior overs, we were involved in the John Giles Foundation, and now there's players, we see players now that are in our youth team that have come through that. So it's been a long enough process, but, you know, them players now, their ambition previously would have been to play, you know, make it into the reserves and make it into the Sunday Premier team. But now, you know, they also have the chance to progress and play National League level. And, you know, I know there's critics out there that think, you know, there's no real need for the league. But at the end of the day, it's the third highest level of football that's available to players to play in the Republic of Ireland. And, you know, for our players, especially the homegrown players, you know, it's a fantastic opportunity for them. And also, like we have signed good players this year as well. You know, players that have come into our team. And, you know, if the players are good enough and they show a good enough effort and commitment and desire to play at that level, well, you know, it's very hard to ignore that type of player. And in terms of the Northwest, you know, the Northwest has always been a hotbed of football, Mark. And, you know, the different levels, we talked about the Premier Division teams and the Irish League and that. And, like, we're talking different levels there, where they've got, especially Coleraine, vast amounts of money, and Derry City in that bracket as well. You know, and we've seen it over the last couple of years with Finn Harps as well, where, you know, locally they look at players, but certainly they're not afraid to delve into the international market as well. And so if the players show dedication, effort, obviously ally that with ability, like, the pathways are there for them to progress and to play at as high a level as possible.
Yeah, certainly exciting for the young player to come through any of the three clubs, Ushuaia, Coghill and Bunnagee. We look forward to seeing how it all pans out. We are going to hear from the Coghill and Bunnagee camp shortly on the programme, but maybe we'll move on to matters in the SSEA Trusty League for the time being. Anthony, Finn Harps, they've been on a bit of a slide, beating 3-1 at home to Cove last week. After going 3-0 down at home early on, you know, it was kind of doom and gloom, but there did seem to be maybe signs of a bit of progress and positivity for, in the second half especially.
Well, the one thing you can say is that they showed a bit of fight. And if you're trying to put a positive spin on it, Mark, you know, they won the second half 1-0. You know, and the penalty was earned by Shawnee Bradley, was again showed great desire and determination to get into the box and won the penalty. Now, we've seen this, like the Finn Harps have made a couple of experience signings over the last couple of weeks, and the likes of Kieran Harkin and Shane Ferguson, who's got unbelievable experience. But, you know, it's about them. Harps now are in a situation where this season can't get any worse. And, you know, there's the positives you take out of it is the fact that there's been so many young players getting an opportunity. And but in a team that's struggling like that and at times getting bad beatings, which they have taken over the last number of weeks and last couple of months, you know, it's very important that the senior players in the team get around the young players and, you know, reassure them and tell them, you know, make sure they don't become disillusioned or lose confidence and faith. Like the most important thing now is that the young players that are getting opportunities, that they don't hide, that they continue to be brave, and that's a real test of character for them.
And you touched on it, they brought in Shane Ferguson, obviously a vastly experienced player. It looks like Patrick's trying to bring in a bit of experience to mix in with the young, but there is still that looming problem at the back and the lack of centre halves he has available. Played the last three and conceded 13. It's not good reading, and that'll be something they'll look to address as quickly as possible. And going to UCD tomorrow night, it doesn't get any easier. UCD are right in the hunt for promotion, so it's not getting any easier, especially tomorrow night.
No, and I suppose like the loss of Connor Touris to a long-term injury as well has made that, you know, the defensive situation very, very difficult, because over the last number of years, I mean, Connor's been the real talisman for that football team, not only from a defensive point of view, but with his ability to pop up and get important goals. But from another point of view, I mean, I think it's an opportunity for Joel Bradley-Walsh to step up, and like he's... You know, he's shown a lot of potential over the last number of seasons, and like we were fortunate enough to have him for a period at Letterkenny Rovers, where, you know, where he excelled at that level. So it's an opportunity for him now to become a leader in that defensive unit, and you know, he's played enough games now where he should be sort of rallying the troops, if you like, and playing and showing with the experience that he's had over the last number of years, and start showing real leadership, and it could really benefit Joel in the long term.
Yeah, well, kickoff is at 7:45 tomorrow evening at the Belfield UCD Bowl. Elsewhere, Cork City can actually win the league this week, depending on results. They're 20 points clear and at home to Wexford. Bray Wanderers are away to Athlone. Cove host Longford, and a Munster derby sees Treaty go to Kerry. Moving on to the Premier Division, Derry aren't playing until Sunday when they face Shamrock Rovers. How would you maybe assess Derry's last couple of games since Mark Connolly took charge, Anthony?
Well, I think, you know, I was under watching them play against Sligo, and it was a very positive performance by them. They played with real energy. The shackles seemed to be off them. I think with Tiernan departing the club, Tiernan Lynch, I think, you know, that it lifted a bit of a weight off the shoulders of a lot of the people, and especially the players. And they played with a real energy and a real freedom, and the new players that came in were very impressive, I have to say. You know, and I know with Mark Connolly's role at the club, like he was a big factor in the signing of them players. So it's certainly like it was plain to see for a long time that the change was needed. You know, the board were reluctant to act, and they seemed reluctant to bow to the pressure from the supporters, but they've acted now, and to be fair, I think Mark Connolly is getting more of a tune out of them than what Tiernan was, and you know, they've realistically, their best hope of silverware or best hope of Europe for next season is going to be through the FA Cup.
Yeah, that game is at 4 o'clock on Sunday against Shamrock Rovers. Tomorrow night, though, there's four games in the top flight. Sligo are away to Bohemians. In terms of Sligo, with eight league games left, Anthony, it's really time Sligo started winning games. If they have any chance of staying up, they're getting cut adrift a wee bit at the bottom there.
Yeah, I think they're in big trouble, Mark. You know, having watched them that night in the Brandywell, you know, you were trying to put a positive spin on it for them, and you're thinking to yourself, how are they going to get out of it? You could say that they had organisation, you know, they had great effort and great desire, but they lacked physicality, you know, and they lacked creativity. And you're just looking at them and you're thinking to yourself, especially the likes that you think Drogheda have enough about them to avoid relegation. I know they're sitting second from bottom at the minute, but you know, and Waterford have been in such a good role since Graham Coughlin came in. So it's going to be really difficult for Sligo. And that's, to be honest, it's one of them where I can't really see them escaping from the bottom of the table.
Yeah, elsewhere in the top flight, tomorrow night, Friday, second place in Pats. They can put a wee bit of pressure on Rovers at the top with a win at home to Waterford. Galway welcome Shelburne to the West, and it is the big Louth derby between Drogheda and Dundalk. Anthony, thank you very much for joining us on The Score this evening. We look forward to talking to you again soon, and enjoy the weekend and the trip to Galway. Hope it all goes well for you.
Good job. Thanks a million, Mark. Thank you.